Welcome to the 100th Monkey Radio with Tom and Ramon. Wow, we have got an amazing show tonight. So, guys, I got to tell you what. It is time has come for Ramon and I to take the next step in this radio show. So we are going to be going to a subscription for the second hour.
Boo.
I know. I really, you know, I didn't really want to head this direction, but you know, just this is we got to go there just for financial purposes. If we want to keep doing what we want to do, and we want to do more of this, and we want to be able to devote more time to going out and you know, we want to go to some of these places and talk to some of these people in their own environment, and I think we can just bring so much more information that direction. So it's going to be we're keeping it, you know, very costly for everybody. It's going to be like $5 a month if you're going to go month by month, or $48 a year.
And
for the first anybody who signs up before we get it officially start, which is what did we say, October 1st. October 1st, so our first show in October, the archives. The first hour is still going to be free, but the first show in October, which will be October 2nd, the second hour will be a members-only basis.
Yeah.
So
if you get it before October 1st, we give you a deal of $43, and you lock that price in for as many year as we have the radio show.
Right. So. Yep. So anyways, it's time for us to do that. So let's see. What else?
Don't forget, if you're interested in going Damonhurst, look at the information. I have a link at the top of the page. And you can find out more about it there. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Tom's YouTube. I know some of you guys follow his YouTube.
Yeah.
And there's links there on the page as well, on the homepage.
Yeah, I put a couple pictures up in the gallery here this week from my Soul Chat here last week. I have a little group that gets together here at my place every week. And we had a couple guys that were playing didgeridoo here.
And oh, nice.
During one of the, they were, you know, doing energy work on people with the didgeridoo, and during some of this energy work, it was just getting dark outside, and we had one hell of an orb come through my back gate, and I've got a couple pictures of this thing, and there's two pictures there, and it shows the orb in two different locations as it's coming in. Just off of the ground, it's bright white. I'd like to be able to, maybe I'll try to put a little bit larger picture on there. It's kind of a small picture, but you guys can figure out how to blow it up, I'm sure. But there's two pictures there that show it progressing in, and then we got a really bright blue one too. So interesting stuff happening here at Tom's place.
Yeah. The other thing is, one of my students, and I can't mention her name, but as you know, I teach English here. She had went to Yonaguni and caught some amazing pictures of the site. According to her, she was saying that it's kind of rare to be able to get so close because the currents are so strong, and that day it just worked out. And there's no doubt in my mind that from looking at these pictures that has to be man-made.
So is she gonna allow us to share those pictures?
Yes.
Awesome.
She should be mailing them to me today, so I should have them up by your morning.
Great.
By people in this. So actually, by the time you guys listen to the show, it should be up already. So.
Great. Great. So I had a pretty eventful afternoon, Ramon, as you have already filled you in a bit on it.
Yeah.
So I was sitting here prepping myself for the show tonight, and today is August 29th. We are recording this. And as I was sitting here, something possessed me to where my desk is situated and everything, I have a window right in front of me so I can look out to the west, the western sky here in Washington. And it's partly cloudy out there, and I always get some really interesting cloud formations. And the clouds just seem to respond to me. I know they respond to me. And I saw a couple things in the clouds that I thought I would take some pictures of. So I grabbed my video camera, and I was taking pictures of the clouds. And I'd been doing this for about 2 minutes, and all of a sudden I hear the chop, 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 chop of helicopters. And four black helicopters came flying right over the house. And so I got those on videotape, which I'll, by the time everybody hears this, I should have at least a couple clips of that up there. It's a little choppy and shaky because it was just handheld, but excuse me. But as soon as, like, just a couple minutes after those things went out of view, I was, I don't know how to put this lightly, but I had a psychic attack. And it was, the only way to put it is, well, I find it very interesting. This stuff doesn't scare me. I mean, I know you can't touch this, but I felt it banging on my door, banging on my shields. And this was right before the time we were supposed to call our guest tonight. And I was like, oh boy, I got to clear myself, clear this stuff out of here. You know, I can't have this crap going on during the interview. So I started clearing, and Ramon calls, and I said, dude, I explained what happened. And I said, I needed to take a couple minutes and meditate for a few minutes and just center myself and clear myself. And so I did this for about 5 minutes, and Ramon calls me back and tells me that our guest tonight was in the middle of dinner and would be another half hour. And I was like, yes, synchronicity, I love you. It just worked out perfect. Because I really didn't want to come out of meditation at that time. I still had some work to do. So it all worked out great, and I was able to get things cleared. And then we got online here, and Ramon calls me, and then we call our guest. And first thing that happens is the gremlins in my computer decided to lock my computer up, which is extremely rare for my computer to go down. So I just found that interesting that all of a sudden, you know, something pulled the plug on me. So,
well, Bob Dean did tell us if we hang out with guys like him, we'll be rattling the cage, which would definitely include our guest into that.
Yeah. So who is our guest tonight, Ramon?
Our guest, I would say, is very well known. Well, at least if you listen to our show and several other shows that he's been on. I don't think he needs much of an introduction because...
Yeah, we just had him on, what, six weeks ago?
So welcome to the show, James Horak, once again.
Thank you. Thank you, Ramon. I appreciate
thank you
it very
for coming
much.
Back.
I must say that these psychic attacks are very real, and I've watched them being done to a number of people that I know.
So I guess we should start off with that. So what's the best thing a person can do when they're being attacked in that way?
You have to ground yourself. You ground yourself in just the basic routine, just the basic attitude that you affect most of the day. And you concentrate on doing whatever it is you were going to do in spite of what's fluttering around you. And that's how it appears. It appears that there are things out of your control fluttering around you. And sometimes they have a very ugly face. And it can even involve voices. It doesn't happen to me, but it has happened to people that I know and that I've been involved in that are very, very dear to me. But they have to overcome it themselves, because if they are helped, they lose that sense of self-confidence that they need if there is any renewal of what's driving this.
Right. Well, I've definitely been rattling some cages here recently, so I'm not terribly surprised that I got stuff knocking on my door.
Oh, yeah, if we keep having guests like James on.
Yeah. So, well, we weren't really planning on talking about psychic attacks tonight. Actually, we wanted to get back into the EMVs, James. When we ended our last show, we were talking about, you mentioned that we would be really impressed with the cosmology of the EMVs, and that just piqued my interest tremendously. I want to know. So how did they come about?
Well, the universe has an order to it, and things that astrophysicists and astronomers on this planet want to attribute purely to chance and time just can't come about on the basis of happenstance. They come about by design. And you see this by the presence of the EMVs that are completing rings in Saturn. You see this by the presence of the EMVs as they form, and by form I mean F-A-R-M, the energy of the sun. It is a operation that reflects back on the universe itself, and it reflects on the systems that exist within the universe, especially solar systems. The capacity to build or engineer a system which is friendly to complex life can't be done by just an element of time and chance. It's done by design. And the elements that are involved in it lead to also protecting that situation or environment long enough for it to sustain lineage. And what is lineage? Lineage is the beginning and duration of intelligent, sentient life.
So did the EMVs ever have a culture like ours where they had the same issues as us, or were they always in a higher vibrational?
EMVs are very specialized in what they represent and what their capabilities are and their intelligence. It's specialized and it's poignantly functional for the task-driven purposes that are involved. And behind it all, I think that there is something so magnificent that, for lack of anything better to attach to it, I would say it comes as close to God as anything possibly can.
So as we're talking here, I decided to open up the SOHO satellite, and the most current image has six of them on it. And I will be posting this with the show on the website, also these images that I just pulled up.
Any friends of yours, James?
Well, I can't, at any given time, I can tell you how many are around the sun, and sometimes their position, when they've taken up a position for a protracted task. I predicted back about 5 months ago when there was a fissure all the way across the top third of the sun that there would be a proliferation of EMVs, and there was, and there were, you know, some people tried to count them. Of course, they couldn't count them all the way around. But on one side, you could see at least 120. And this was to heal or to repair the sun. And what it did was compact the sun back to stability because it was becoming unstable.
So we've had a very active last couple of weeks. Have been very active on the sun. What's going on now? Are we looking at some events coming up here?
Well, there are things that you are aware of, and then things that are kept from you. I would imagine that the number of satellites in the military satellite array have been impaired. And as far as freedom-loving people of this world, they should applaud that. I know that it was on schedule. Thank you. I know that it was on schedule to further destabilize the New Madrid Fault in North America. That's not working out very well because in order to use HAARP and to aim it, it requires the focus from the military satellite array. And so EMVs have an operation in Utah which help to maintain a stability even in the face of these insane designs. And so, here you see how not only is the use of EMVs in maintaining some stability to systems such as ours designed to encounter and defend from natural causes like what comes through from the asteroid belt, but also some man-made ones.
So here's a question. What happened, the earthquake in Virginia and the whole East Coast?
The one in Virginia and then the one in Colorado?
Yes.
Well, this is a case that's very interesting. And a close friend of mine, Kevin Smith, did a show on it. And discussed it, and of course I had a comment to make on where OneDrift took, and I was first caller in to kind of rebut something that the guest and Kevin were leaning towards. But most of the attitude that's been struck of concern over this being unnatural and being part of something sinister, namely some kind of conflict between military establishment, we'll say military intelligence, and the CIA, was due to a dubious source named Saoirse Ronan. And Saoirse Ronan puts out a newsletter, and most of their information is based on they claim that they have privileged access to what crosses the Kremlin's desk every day. And that, the Russians have devices by which they can read seismological signals from anywhere in the world very easily, just as much as we have. In fact, in most of the surveillance techniques that are used by the NSA and other agencies of the government in the United States and elsewhere, they have duplicated these functions with their own technology. I mean, not in the same way and sometimes not extensively, but this information would cross a desk somewhere along the line between the agencies of the Russian government and the Kremlin. So that this information would exist. It's just a matter of how precise someone like Saoirse Ronan would be and what kind of access they'd actually have to it. But there are a couple of things that have happened that have come down where they have been accurate in principle. But these were unnatural earthquakes in both places for a number of reasons, and this has been pretty well made an agreed consensus among seismologists that were studying both the Virginia earthquake and the one in Colorado. In fact, this was purported to be one of the strongest, highest magnitude earthquakes on record in Colorado, but it wasn't. There was another very similar, two others very similar, and the lady seismologist who commented on this said that in both cases these were attributed to man-made causes. One was an explosion, the other was drilling. So we have an obvious conclusion to form that the probability is very high that it was an unnatural earthquake in Colorado, and in Virginia, something very similar along the same line, because the bedrock there is contiguous.
I mean, there's nothing there to quake.
Right, right. Well, if you had movement, tectonic plate movement, it would be appreciably of a higher magnitude. It's not a matter of whether you'd have a little earthquake, which a 5.3 isn't a little earthquake, but that's another interesting thing. Both of these were of the same magnitude. And there was also associated a noise in Florida. Mm-hmm. This is supposed to relate to a network of tunnels, military tunnels that are under North America in almost the entirety of the United States part of North America. And there's no doubt that they're there. And a lot of people have heard strange noises, which they've talked about, and whenever I've been around and had them talk about it, I'll always ask two questions. And if the answer to both these questions is true, yeah, then it more than likely this is underground tunneling. And they have tunnel machines that can cut through rock as fast as you can walk. So, and not only they cut through rock, but they superheat the debris that's left, so there's a minimum amount of material that needs to be removed, and they also glaze the wall of the tunnel so that it's self-supporting.
So what are the two questions that you ask?
I ask, does it sound like the burn off of excess jet fuel, JP5, from one of these jet tankers? And they say, yeah. And then I say, towards the end of this, towards the end of the time that you can hear this, does it sound like a train breaking on rails or beginning to accelerate on rails from a stop? They'll say, if they say, yeah, then I'll say, well, that's a tunnel machine.
So there's been noise coming from the earth all over the world. I saw some stuff from the Ukraine, and that was an eerie sound that they were recorded over there.
Well, it was very similar. Well, the Ukraine and a couple of other places, they were comparing this with an air release that they had in Florida during an athletic event. And they were talking about how during the event, everybody could hear it, and it was so obvious that it was being commented on. And of course, Orshafal claimed that this was this occurred just before the two blasts at opposite ends of this tunnel system, midways, and that this was the expulsion of gas from the ventilating system. It's an enormous ventilating system by necessity. But this tunnel system is extremely vast. I'll give you an example. If you've gone online and looked for pictures of these tunnel machines. There's one in particular, and it has an Air Force emblem on it, and the crew is out standing by it.
What's the name of the how can I Google it?
Oh, we had that where was that picture? Somebody just showed that picture on that Facebook page, Esoteric Mystery School, I think it was.
Yes. Yes, that's the one picture. I can tell you where that picture was taken. I can tell you when. That picture was taken at Carswell Air Force Base in 1978.
Hmm. Oh, 1978.
They had just been appropriated $68 billion to expand their underground installation and to dig tunnels all under two lakes and combine up with the tunnel system that goes all the way up to Carlsbad Cavern and then all the way west to California.
Wow. Yeah, because I've heard rumors for the longest, even way before I got into this in the 90s, how they had tunnels and these super trains that would connect. You know, I can get to LA from New York in about an hour.
Well, all this is for the elite after they get rid of us. You know, these people don't like the image of being compared to rats in a hole. So they have spruced things up. And, you know, you see almost science fiction aspect to this. And that's basically because what do people do when they're behaving badly and they're harming other people? They sublimate their actions. And they do so with things like the few for the many. Only in this case, it's the many for the few.
Right, right.
After all, you know, we're not. What have you done lately to help the Rothschilds increase their fortune?
Yeah.
Have you, Tom, Ramon, yeah. Have you done anything? Mm-hmm. Well, you're a useless eater then. Mm-hmm. By their standards.
Yeah.
I think we've probably been doing quite the opposite.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's horrible to think that these people think like that. But if you read, if you have kept up with anything to any extent, if your mind is open to the harsh realities of what's laying in front of you as an inevitability, then you find that these people talk about this stuff all over the place. You got people like Ted Turner. You got people like Rupert Murdoch. Mouth this crap off constantly.
Yep. Well, the reason that they're digging, what's the reason behind them digging all these tunnels? Is for something that they're going to put together to try to level off the population, or is something else coming in?
Well, they're not good mathematicians, and the scientists that they have in their employment can't afford to tell them the truth. But this is a false security blanket for a place to go and hide when they decide to get rid of the rest of us and unleash what they've got in mind to do it with.
What are some of the things they have in mind?
Hmm.
Well, you already know about them. Chemtrails.
Now, speaking of chemtrails, you know, I've been actually pretty surprised. Ever since, about the middle of July, so about a month and a half now, the skies here in western Washington have been relatively clear. There's been a couple of days where I've seen a couple, but besides that, I haven't seen any.
That's because they've been doing it here.
Well, you know, want another reason for that?
Hmm.
They're letting the sun do the work for them. They have removed some of the filtering effects of our upper atmosphere. so that if you'll notice, the sunlight is white, more white than it normally mm-hmm. would be. So you're getting the full range of light energy instead of it being filtered like would be normal. So it's a lot more damaging. And, you know, they're constantly, they have these death machines, and they're constantly setting the vernier dial on these death machines to see what'll do what. They've got us used to the chemtrails. They're the first part of a binary weapon system that's understood. Lauren Murray is correct in saying that. And she got that from a good source. And there was a movie made in 2007 that dealt with that, that was banned in the United States, although it was a Hollywood movie. It's called Toxic Skies. It told the truth about that, that the first part of this binary weapon system is to destroy your immunity. And then when they expose you to a disease that's been not been around for maybe 100 years, then it'll be especially virulent, and you won't be able to deal with it even with antibiotics, and it's a death sentence. But that's just one aspect. I mean, when they get you used to something like the chemtrails, who's to say what they'll put in them next?
Right.
Then you have radioactive fallout, and I won't say from where. But there are other places. We came very close to having the largest store of war-grade plutonium breached by a fire, a forest fire, because the idiots wouldn't protect Los Alamos from a forest fire that had been encroaching in their direction for weeks, and all they had to do was build a fire break with four bulldozers in 4 hours, and there would be no danger from the forest fire. But they played around with that. They played around with the Gulf of Mexico disaster that BP caused, and they let BP get away with murder. They let BP get away with disposing of unwanted toxic chemical Corexit that they had to pay storage on. It was banned everywhere else in Europe. So, you know, it's one thing after another.
And they're still spraying it.
Yeah. Well, the degradation of the planet is ongoing. Most of our oxygen comes from places where they like to dump plutonium waste in the Atlantic Trough. I'm certain that the Great Barrier Reef will be next. The Corexit took the oil right down on the coral in the Gulf of Mexico. And, you know, that's going to take thousands of years to come back.
Yeah.
Because coral is a principal part of saltwater ecology. And Japanese know this very well. I mean, if the Japanese didn't have the same problem that we have in this country, and that is the media, if the Japanese knew the full score of why they Fukushima happened, which we discussed in that show we did, if they knew all this, there would be some people committing Harry Carey over there right now. And, you know, I've got a Harry Carey knife that I'll volunteer. I'll send it over there, and Any one of these hotshot executives in a trading company or the government needs a Harry Carey knife, I've got one.
They, I don't think they have the balls to do that.
That's a shame. You know, that was a wonderful institution. It's kind of like the duel.
That is, just to explain for those who don't know what it is, it's the old samurai way. When you've shamed yourself, you reclaim your honor by basically you cut your stomach and then you move it up towards your chest.
Yeah, you basically.
Yeah, well, you know, the main point of that and why so many indulged it is that you took the anathema off your family. You took full responsibility in it. You took it off your family. Yeah. And the Germans did the same thing. All the feudal societies know about this, and it's part of their code. It's code of chivalry. Mm-hmm. And the Japanese followed it loyally, faithfully. The early Chinese did. And so, anywhere where you've had feudalism and you've had the a code of chivalry involved, you've had this institution.
In some form or other, yes.
So these people that are committing these heinous acts against the planet, are they getting orders from somewhere else off planet?
No. Now their powers that be like to do that, you know. Well, the devil made me do it. No, ET made me do it. And that's why they favor this hostile alien thesis so much, because they can get people to bite another bullet, to give up more freedom, to get hysterical and to come under a worse yoke than they've had before. They can take away the last of your quality of life, your standard of living, what little is left, and then they can impose their police state methodology on you. And if they've convinced you, you'll say, "Oh, well, it's necessary. It protects me from ET," which is absurd. The whole thing is just bizarre, but. This was in the offing in 1959. In 1959, there was a study undertaken, commissioned by, it hadn't been commissioned until JFK agreed to have it undertaken, and it was a report from Iron Mountain. Of course, that they did everything in the world they could to debunk it, but if you'll read the thing, and not the thing that this detractor by the name of Levin claims that he wrote it and everything, and he's out there in the woodwork. He's created a different one, and he's trying to sell that. Now, this is 40 years after the fact, so he cannot claim patent rights to it or anything else, but he can drag you into court, and that's what he's doing, and there's money behind him to do it. It's another way of suppressing the report from Iron Mountain, which is authentic.
So what does the report from Iron Mountain, what is this?
It discusses global warming, only in that day and time, it was the greenhouse effect as a use to maintain the status quo in the event of an end to war. And guess what? In order to practice it on a global scale, it calls, of course, for globalism. That's the New World Order. And in the final analysis, the greatest vehicle to sell that is the hostile alien thesis. That's in it, too. And this was finished in 65. It was released in 66. And when I was going to Michigan State University, I would audit poli-sci courses, graduate level, because I was just interested in the people that headed up that department, Michigan State, all CIA, of course, because that's the biggest CIA school in the country. And there were four graduate level poli-sci courses that had Report from Iron Mountain as required reading, and it was sold in the bookstore. So when people tell you that it was a fantasy or fiction or whatever, they have been sold the bill of goods. There are a number of think tank people that will acknowledge that it's the real thing. And one of them that I knew when I was at Michigan State University working on a contract basis with a think tank to get my wife some help because she had a problem, she was a rather violent lady. But the person that got me the job had worked on it. So,
yeah, you know, repeat something enough times and the people will begin to believe it.
Yes. Yes, that's true. That's true. But, you know, the people that have taken a second look at it in the past few years see, you know, there's such a thing as retrospect proving out the validity or the truth of something that has been supposedly debunked by this repetition and by media whoredom. And that's basically what it is. We have media whoredom, you know, and it's all over the world. In fact, my country is one of the worst. I think the English are trying to get that preeminence, but
they are trying hard. You know,
they're trying very hard. I mean, they've got surveillance down. I mean, there's a camera on every corner and in the middle of the block of every city, every hovel.
And now they're installing them into people's apartments who have kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. That's really great. I mean, I guarantee you won't cut down on crime at all.
No,
it won't cut down on crime at all.
It'll just make it worse, actually. Yeah.
Did DNA evidence cut down on crime?
Right.
Yeah.
No, but it made the lawyers a lot richer. Made one lawyer a lot richer because he was able to defend an athlete who butchered his wife and her lover. And then got off because his lawyer was paid enough money to get up and say one thing. Well, now, Mr. Expert, how many lab reports coming back from laboratories that the police use are in error? 40%. And O.J. Simpson skipped, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, people don't, you know, the media doesn't put it that way, do they?
They never do.
No.
Well, they put it the way they want you to believe it.
They wanted to lay it on the judge. They wanted to lay it on the jury. The fact of the matter is that the prosecution mishandled the case. They should have been prepared for that argument, and they weren't. The showboating and everything else just wore people down, even the media, until people just wanted to get rid of it.
Yep.
Well, look at the murder cases that they just wear the people down. They wear the prosecutors down. They wear their investigators down. We've had the killings of the little girl that was showboated as a sexual target for pedophiles in Colorado.
Yeah.
Remember her, Benet?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
They showboated that. Yeah. I mean, that house is locked up. There's no entry. No exit out of that house when that crime occurred. Kind of reduces the suspects down, doesn't it? Yeah. But did the media ever tell you that? The media ever put it in those terms?
No.
And look how that dragged on until people were so sick of it they just wanted it to go away. Well, how many times does the media handle issues? Remember what when JFK was assassinated and after a commission began to investigate it, which was a laugh, what was coming out of that after a few months of hearings? Do you remember what the press and media and the politicos were all saying almost in unison? let's get this behind us for the good of the country.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We got it behind us, didn't we? And that's mm-hmm. and that bought us how many disasters since?
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah.
Well, they prove to themselves that they can get away with anything.
That's right. That's the mentality. That's exactly right. They find a way, they find a method to escape justice in close investigation. They find a way. And then they can get away with the next thing. They got away with Oklahoma City, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
They did. I mean, there's no doubt that you can load 10 of the largest trucks that Ryder rents with all the fertilizer and the diesel fuel you want, and it won't chop a multi-story building like the Murray building in Oklahoma City in two like it was Cleaved. And then the questions that were asked by one of the mothers that lost children there, why didn't the ATF have any of their children in the nursery there that day?
Hmm.
Good boy, question. The FBI tormented that poor lady. Wouldn't stop because she kept asking the big question. Why didn't they have their children there that day? They didn't. Yeah. So there are all kinds of questions like that. And then we get to 911. And anybody that believes the official story on 911 is hiding from the truth. I mean, this goes beyond people that buy into that. It goes beyond ignorance. It goes into a willful avoidance.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that might be coming up that would play off like a 911 event?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, they're trying to, they'll try to build things up. Now, if they can sell Elanin as Nibiru, well, they've tried, you know, but it Nibiru didn't catch on. Planet X crap didn't catch on. So now they'll be trying to build it as something else. People that I know and respect are trying to build it into something. And, of course, the scientific establishment has hinted that there are anomalies associated with Elanin. It's changed course. It's changed speed. And it has no tail. What they're not telling you but hinting that it's true is that it's showing signs of intelligence. Of course, that can be assumed when it changes course. That can be assumed when it predictably is heading our way and they feel like they can plot it. But they can't tell you what it is because it is changing course. And they can't tell you when its arrival time will be or where it will come because it changes course. Hmm. And then so there's a fleet behind it. Well, really, really, you buy that? Hmm. I'll tell you now, Elanin is a craft, but it won't harm anyone. And there's nothing to fear.
Hmm. What about the rumor that it's dragging something behind it?
Well, that goes back with the fleet thing and all that. There won't be anything like that when it comes into the system.
Yeah. So who do you suspect is, or do you know is manning it?
Part of the extended community that I've talked about. We didn't get enough attention paid to the EMVs to wake people up about that, did we? Hmm. So this is a demonstration, and it will show be an indicator of intelligent life and magnitude craft that comes into a system and then leaves.
You know, something that really should make a whole lot of people really just sit up in their chair and really question this thing is the fact that, okay, out of all these thousands of years that we have recorded history, we finally some massive object is coming into our solar system that's going to be, you know, we'll call it, quote unquote, the near miss, and it just happens to be approaching from the other side of the sun that we can't see.
Oh, yeah.
That's coincidentally.
That's astute. That's very, very good surmise. This isn't the first one. This isn't the first series of craft, obviously under intelligent control, that did something this remarkable. Remember Shoemaker Levy?
Yeah.
I mean, these were supposed comet fragments coming in from deep space, following in a straight line, hitting the same target, Jupiter. Now, if that's not intelligent control, I don't know what would be, because when something comes apart, whether it's in space, rarefied atmosphere, or in our atmosphere, what does it do? These fragments go in different directions, don't they? They disperse. These stayed in straight lines like a choo-choo train coming through space from millions of miles out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously under intelligent control. And they, 2020, which is a journalist program on television, did a show on it. And when they did, this was a few weeks after the last fragment had hit Jupiter. And they showed an artist's conception, and all of them went into the eye of a storm on Jupiter. It's the same absolute spot. Mm-hmm. Now, that didn't agree with NASA. That was just too compelling. So what they did is that they expanded the target area out across that side of Jupiter. Big deal. We're talking about objects coming in from deep space, millions of miles out of our system, coming in and hitting the same planet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What would be the reason that they would target Jupiter?
Because they are terraforming Jupiter. There are people there now.
I was just looking at Jupiter two nights ago with my telescope. There's quite an amazing alignment going on right now with the moons. All five of the moons. There were, you know, the two inner moons. I don't know exactly. I can't really say on their orbit. I haven't really done that much research on Jupiter itself. But the two inner moons were maybe 15 degrees apart, and then the other three moons were in a direct line, lined up right directly to the center between those two moons. So it was an alignment that I've never seen before, anyways. And I was thinking, if you look at the way alignments supposedly have physical effects on just our planet, then wow, there's some stuff going on Jupiter right now.
Yeah. You want to look at the latest self-contradiction of the scientific establishment in the world today?
Sure.
NASA accounted that they had detected a star that was no warmer than the human body.
Huh? Right?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that one.
Yep. This was just last week.
Emitting light.
Did they? Well, now.
Well, if they're going to detect.
Here, you're jumping ahead of me.
Okay.
You're jumping ahead of me. Okay, let's look at the definition of what is a star.
Actually, we might want to hold that to the next hour.
Oh, yeah. I just looked at the clock. We are zeroing in here. Oh, okay, so we're going to look at this star here. in the, we'll start that out in the second hour, guys. James, you want to leave our BBS listeners with any parting comment?
No, I just think it's exciting that we're looking at, to this next half hour, this next hour of the program. I think that it's suspenseful, don't you?
Awesome.
Dun, dun, dun.
There we go. Okay, guys, if you want to check out some of James's work, you can go to EMVSinfo@blogspot.com. He's got quite a bit of stuff on the EMVs there and a lot of other material there too. So I
and our you. Website is www.thehundredthmonkeyradio.com.
Okay, I guess that's about it. Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance, and Brooks is on right after us, so check us out as soon as you get done listening to him. Namaste.